Take your Bibles, if you would, please. We're going to get there momentarily, but go to, if you would, Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Mom, guys, we're good? All right. By the way, I had the privilege today and last Sunday of teaching the teen class. And we had four young men in there this morning. Had a little bit more last Sunday, but one person was gone. But anyway, I just had a good time, had a great time teaching that class. I tell you, we need to pray for these young people. Amen? All of them, every one of them. You know, the ones that we have here, here's Ryan sitting there. Ryan, you doing okay? Still the headache. Okay, hang in there. But see, he's got a headache and he's still here at church. You know, somebody stubs their toe and they're not going to come to church for 3 weeks. You know, come on. Good to have you here there, buddy. But it's, you know, this next generation, what a privilege, what a joy to pray for them. They're scared to death right now because I told them I'm going to be using them a little bit this morning. I'm not exactly sure. Can't use you, Mason, can I? You're up there doing something important, right? Is it your turn to watch Ed to make sure he's doing okay? Okay. It's gotta be somebody up there. It scares me to death sometimes. Bless you, brother. I appreciate that. Thank you. All right. Let's pray. Let's ask God to speak to us now. Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name that your word would pierce hearts this morning. A great subject to meditate on, to shout about for that matter. Lord, I pray that it would become more and more precious to us, the resurrection of our Savior. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, this has been kind of a series. I've entitled the whole thing, Behold Your King. And you know, we looked at, you know, behold your Creator God. Behold your suffering servant. Behold your teacher friend. But now we're looking at this. And I hope and pray that this winds up just absolutely sparking something in every one of us, as you will see what it did in time past. Behold your risen Savior, not your dead Savior, not your dead one. You know, there's others that are, I mean, they're there, they're in the tomb. There, you can see that, you can go to see their bones with some of them. Not Jesus. And even today, there are people that are trying to talk Jesus back into the grave. He's still there. No, he's not. I serve a risen Savior. That's my God. There's a pastor, former pastor, I like his last name, it happens to be Rogers. Pastor Adrian Rogers said this, "The resurrection is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. It is the singular doctrine that elevates Christianity above all other world religions." Why? Because he's the only one that's risen. He's the only one that's risen. God so loved the world. That's why Christ came. He came so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. He came even though he would be despised and rejected of men. He came to take our place, to bear our sin on the tree, right? He came to be our substitute. He came to die so that we might live, but that life would not be possible unless his life came back. He came not only simply to die, but to bring victory over death and the grave. It's fascinating to read in history how the first century church thrived, not because they focused on the cross of Christ. Although that is important, please don't misunderstand me. And if you're watching on the internet, don't start a blog about how I belittled the cross. But they thrived because he was alive. That was the thing that set Jesus Christ apart. Tim Keller said this, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. All of it. Every bit of it. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about anything he said? He'd be just, you know, he'd be another Plato. Plato's dead. Aristotle, ditto. You know, that they're all. The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. Spurgeon said this, Emmanuel, God with us in our nature, in our sorrow, in our life work, in our punishment, in our grave, and now with us, or rather, we will be with him in resurrection, ascension, triumph, and second advent splendor. Look at, if you would please, Matthew chapter 17. Look at verse 22. Matthew 17, verse 22. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. Now, after everything that the Lord has done, that's bad enough. And they shall kill him. That's really bad, although he was born to die. And the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry? Have you ever heard something and it's like, wait a minute, back it up. I didn't get that the first time around. That's exactly what took place when it comes to the disciples. They were sorry. They were stuck on kill him. But really what he was trying to tell them was, I'm going to rise from the dead. Praise God for that. I'm going to rise from the dead. But they weren't quite getting that. Speaking of, by the way, this was a promise. Speaking of that, go to Romans chapter 4. Look at verse 23. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him righteousness, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. You see, that is what hinged on our justification. Is this fact? Is Jesus still in the grave or is he alive? If he's still in the grave, let's sell the property, disperse it among ourselves, we're gone, because there's nothing unique about Christianity except he's alive. And that's what this is all about. There's a stirring that needs to take place once again in people that name the name of Jesus. Now please catch this. It's not going to be what Jesus taught. It's not going to be his uniqueness of character. People can look at other characters. As it was in the first century, so it will be in the 21st century until he comes. The thing that sets him apart, which sets us apart, is that we have new life in Christ. We're not just going by another set of standards. There is another me, I am born again. You are born again. We are born from above. And because he lives, we live. And that's why we can look at the world and say, I'm sorry, but this world is not my home. And it isn't. And the more days go by, the more I praise God for that. Because this world, more and more, is getting to be toast. It breaks my heart because of what I hear, what's taking place. But again, like somebody said, the world is not falling apart. It's falling into place. I mean, these things that are taking place, it's like, yep, I see it. Yep, more than ever now. Absolutely. In Romans 10, we read this, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, stop, look up at me. There are people that give a pledge about something or someone else. I was watching a little thing yesterday on the Freemasons. Boy, I tell you what, that's a scary group. That's a religion all its own. By the way, if anybody has any smattering, you know, any dealing with the Freemasons, get out of it. It's disgusting. It is not biblical. It's not right. But there are organizations, there are groups, people say, you know, I'm here, I'm there, I'm with that. If that verse stopped right there, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, it'd be just like so many other groups. But watch this. And shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. By the way, sometimes we wind up speaking and we don't realize, you know, and I've done this before, but let's all take a lesson here. I'll never forget a very well-known fundamental Baptist pastor several decades ago was asked this question. Do you have to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ in order to be saved? And without thinking about it, he said, no. Now, I know later on, he probably shot himself in his mind about 57 times. You know, oh, I can't believe I said that. You can see that here. Satan loves to get us tripped up. Don't listen to him. Amen? The biggest thing here is for us to realize this. Without the resurrection, there is no salvation. Period. There is none. Somebody said this. I like how this one author says this is who a believer is. A Christian is someone who believes in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ and lives in light of the implications of that event. If Christ is still... Go to 1 Corinthians 15, would you? Go to 1 Corinthians 15. You'll see what I mean. We've got a lot of scripture to go to this morning. Please don't let that scare you. We will get through it. There were those in Corinth that were wreaking havoc on others when it came to doubting the resurrection. Paul came back and said, wait a minute, folks. Without this, you're doomed. Look at verse 12, 1 Corinthians 15. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? By the way, the Sadducees were part of that group. That's why they were so sad, you see. I'm sorry, I waited all week to say that. Just verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain, empty as to results. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Oh, man, ye are yet in your sins. You know, you're probably just like me. There's times when you wind up sinning and it bothers you. You go to the Lord and it's like, Lord, forgive me. You know, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to do that. Lord, forgive me. The joy about being a believer is this. When I go to God and I confess my sin, the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But He doesn't do that because He's a good God. He does it because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who is our substitute. You see? Without that, ye are yet in your sins, and I hate my sin. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. We just buried Ron Souza. Without Jesus Christ, without the resurrection, he's not in heaven. You understand? Look at the implications of it all. My mom, my dad, my sister, how many of you can name relatives, friends? We can. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are doomed. Verse 18. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Listen, from the very beginning, the resurrection was the thing that ignited, absolutely ignited, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28, verse 5, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Listen to what he said, and you'll be good. Listen to what he said, and all will be sweet. That's not what it says. He is not here, for he is risen as he what? Said. Now, we're getting to a point. You young guys, get ready. I think I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna need you. Come see the place where the Lord lay and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. I have told you. And they departed quizzically and thinking, you know, what in the world is he talking about? No, they departed quickly. They were excited. Man, it was like, wow, this is incredible. He told them it was going to happen. But like us, you know, we just don't quite catch it. But when it came time for them to come face to face with this, it was like, yes! Glory! It'd be our equivalent today of saying, hot doggies! Now, I would say that. Maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you're a little more sophisticated, but Satan did everything he did. Can you imagine? Listen to this. Satan did everything he could do to kill Christ on the cross. What he didn't know was it was God's plan anyway. Well, he did know it. He wanted to keep him in the tomb. He was powerless to keep him in the tomb. He and his minions did everything they could do. They even lied about it. Go to Matthew 28. Look, if you would please, at verse 11. Matthew 28, verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. Why? The tomb is empty. Oh man, we got hired for this. We're dead. You realize this? Because this took place, these guys are toast. They're dead. They're just not fired. They're dead. Verse 12. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Can I ask you a simple question? Soldiers that are on guard, do they sleep? When I was in the Air Force, an officer that we heard, he was with a Korean officer. They were at the demilitarized zone. He was at a checkpoint where an American and a South Korean soldier decided to go ahead and take a nap. The American officer kicked the guy to get him up. The South Korean officer took out his .45 and shot and killed the South Korean soldier. You fall asleep while you're on watch like that, you lose your life in this time. No. This is what you do. You tell them that you were asleep. What happened? And if this come into the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. They believed it, even though they knew it was false. It was, as we would say today, fake news. By the way, you know, the devil has his minions today that say the same thing. I could have brought in others, but this guy, Richard Dawkins, I feel so sorry for him, because one day he's going to face up to a whole lot. Listen to what he said. Presumably, what happened to Jesus was what happens to all of us when we die. We decompose. Accounts of Jesus' resurrection and ascension are about as well documented as Jack and the Beanstalk. He went on to say this: it's a horrible idea that God, this paragon of wisdom and knowledge, power, couldn't think of a better way to forgive us our sins than to come down to earth in his alter ego as his son and have himself hideously tortured and executed so that he could forgive himself. Folks, the world does not understand the gospel except by the power of God. When the Holy Spirit worked in your heart and mine, it made sense. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son as our substitute, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. The world looks at that and they think that's foolishness. We look at that and go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. The truth and the effect of the resurrection is beyond question. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Listen to this. Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 1. And you hath he quickened. Why? We were dead. We were dead in trespasses and sin. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Not only were we dead, we were deluded. We didn't understand. Look at verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Listen, we were dead, we were deluded, we were disobedient, we were defiled, the lust of the flesh, and according to the last part of verse 3, we were doomed. It's so sad to tell people about Christ and they will not give it a hearing, because so many, and you know human nature as well as I do, and by the way, as well as they do, people don't want to let go of their sin. That's how short when it comes to what we see, that's how short we are. We don't see beyond the grave. That's sad. This is when you pray for people. By the way, this is free. I don't know why, but this last week, oh my soul, this last week, the Lord's been having me pray. I'm waking up in the middle of the night the whole bit. Pray for our president. By the way, would you pray for our president? Pray for him. Now, I praise God for what he's done for God's people. But you know, let's also do this. While so many people, quote unquote, on our side are cursing him, let's pray for our governor. Seriously. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They know not what they do. To sign a bill like he did this week so that young girls on a college campus could take a horrible set of drugs that are so powerful that they will induce their body to give a self-abort, and everything that they will have to put up with in that, in their college dorm, to be so horrifically ignorant and blind to do that. And these girls will suffer. But again, there's blindness there. We need to be praying for some people. Amen? All right, let's move on. Go, if you would, please, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Baptism is a sign, is a type of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We identify with the Lord in baptism. By the way, if you've been born again and you have not been scripturally baptized by immersion, I encourage you to come and speak to me. It's important. No, you're not saved by baptism, but it is the first step of obedience. And I believe that there are people that wind up getting frustrated in their growth because they will not be baptized. Look at verse 4, Romans chapter 6. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Again, you're identifying. Buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, I have identified with Christ. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. When you died, identified with Christ, and came up a new creature in Christ, you are separated. It's like this. Many years ago, how many of you men ever worked with a lathe? Raise your hand. Okay. So, Ed, you know what I'm talking about. And there's the driving, all of a sudden I'm forgetting. Good. I should have written this down. The driving belt, yeah, the shaft, thank you, in the top, at the in the ceiling. How would you get the lathe going? You engage with a belt the lathe. The shaft is constantly turning. When we are saved, we are now disconnected from the shaft that was making us sin. We have disconnected it. We can sometimes reconnect it. Now, praise God, when we get our new bodies, sin is gone. We won't have the ability to sin. Thank you, Jesus. But right here, we can sin. But this is the likeness that Paul is trying to teach us. Baptism is a sign of what the Lord did for us, but it pictures the resurrection. Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive, together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's times we wind up, and we've already gone over this a little bit, there's times we read something, and it's like, I didn't see what that was. I just went over a speed bump, but I don't really realize what that was. We reign now. Well, you know, when we were saved, we all of a sudden didn't go, whoa! What was that? Okay, here, I've got a Bible. Let me show you the 57 things that just happened to you. We didn't feel it like that, but this is what took place. We are now a new creature in Christ. We now reign with him in heaven, right now. Right now. That's not me saying it. That was Paul saying it. Now, there's times we just have to stop and say, you know what, maybe I have not been giving this thing about the resurrection of Christ its due like I should have. Look at verse 6 again, Ephesians 2. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. You see? So, what's the devil's game plan? What's his game plan? Guys, could you come forward right now? The young men. The guys that here we go. Up, two, three, four, call them, laugh. Okay. Hey, I could use your brother. Okay, Ryan, come on up. Come on, guys. I'm telling you. Line up in a row here. Good. Okay, Brad, come on up. Okay. Now, Paul, remember, some time ago, I preached that. No, Brad, you get on the end of the line. That's okay. Paul, remember that message I preached, looking forward to the past? Remember that? Okay. Looking forward to the past is kind of, could y'all point this way? Look this way. Turn. Right. Hey! Thank you. There we go. Okay. Here, let's spread out a little bit here. Come on. Okay. Good. Good stuff. Okay. All right. Okay. So, what looking forward to the past about is this. See, we wind up, there's the future right there. But I need to look to the past to see what God has done. Now, this is the first century Christian. And the resurrection has taken place. And he says, wow, glory. Can you do that?
Wow.
You might be smelling the smoke. This illustration is getting ready to go down real quick. So meanwhile, see, he turns to the next guy. Ah, Troy, he can do it. I'll guarantee you that. He turns to the next guy and says, here's this truth. Jesus is risen. Give it to him.
Wow. Glory.
Hey, there we go. Here we go. Okay. Now, he turns and gives it to Ryan. He says, man, you would have, Jesus is alive. Don't you recognize? Praise God. Go ahead and give it to him.
Wow. Glory.
And then you give it to, and you say, wait a minute, now watch this. And then you give it to, and then you give it to, and then you give it to,
wow, glory!
Here's what happens. Remember in the book of Judges when the Bible says a generation came up that didn't know who? They didn't know what the God that they were dealing with. See, Joshua? Oh, yeah, I've heard some things that took place. And so what winds up happening is here is the resurrection. You know, history says that there were those that would watch Christians going to bury their dead in the catacombs, and they said it was amazing. It was like these people are just on a journey. They're singing. They don't cry like other people do. They're rejoicing. Why? Because of the resurrection. See, but it continues on and on. You know what Brad was an illustration for us for? Revival. Looks in the scripture. See, there comes, it winds up at times comes being a time when it was like, this is what I heard. You know, somebody told me to read a Bible and I prayed a prayer and this and that. But then all of a sudden somebody comes along and says, man, and God gets a hold of the heart. Wow, do you realize what this is about? He is alive. Glory. So there are times we look forward to the past and we wind up seeing those times when God moved. Listen, Friday morning at 7 o'clock, there were those of us that were here praying again for revival. By the way, 1 year from October 18th, 1 year from October 18th, we are having River City Revival. Dwight Smith, a couple of other guys coming. So looking forward to it. You know, we need a revival. And one of the main objectives, if not the main thing, is to get people to realize and get us to remember, hey, he's alive. He is risen from the dead. That's what sets us apart. Not what he taught, but how he lives. What he taught was great, but the fact that he lives, and because of that, we live. There is no other equal. Thank you, gentlemen. I think Brad had some of that sugar back there, too. The resurrection, and fellas, I'm going to have to cut this short. The resurrection is the core of the Christian message, and it should never be neglected or just assumed. Resurrection. That's what we're about. I serve a risen Savior. That's what sets us apart. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you know what? He's coming again. What a joy. Praise God. Behold your resurrected Savior. Let's pray.